previously on The Hired Swords. Watching Joxer fall reminded me of the fragility of life. It's something I think we try to forget, at least I know I do. If I remembered how easy all of this can be taken away, would I fight? Would I be able to protect those that are dear to me? No, that can't be it. We must remember, we must fight. Because we may not have tomorrow. I will fight for the weak. I will fight for love. And I will fight for you. Until my last breath. Listening to The Hired Swords. I'm not really sure why I'm telling you that, though. I mean, you clicked on the title to play this thing.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Hired Swords. I'm your Dungeon Master, Michael, and with me here online is Derek playing Davin.
Oh, I hate when I go first. Hi.
Blaze is a guy called Kriggs.
You know, I think this is the first time I've ever gone second. Second for first. Wait.
Congratulations. Congratulations. And Ash is Gwendolyn.
Howdy. I'm here.
And everyone's favorite Brewman Joxer is played by Mikey.
Heyo. I'm here. Not
and
there.
When we last left off, we were in the middle of a fight still with the shadow-possessed version of Teld, who had stirred up a ruckus in this goblin village, the father of Gis. He had been killed previously, and he has now been reanimated, it seems, by these shadows. He is able to summon these shadows that have kind of caused a little trouble for the animals that were in these pens and killed one of them, and then this our party created, or didn't create, but they jumped into the fight, getting some damage done to them, but doing some damage back. And we are now sitting with Joxer, having been completely knocked unconscious, failing a couple of death saves automatically from a post-unconsciousness attack from Teld. But then some spells were cast to bring him back. He has been conscious, and I think he's even attacked a couple things and killed it since coming back to consciousness, with Gwendolyn helping out with that, as well as Kriggs, I believe. And then shortly after all that took place, we had a song from the tavern as everyone's favorite goblin bard, Vale, jumped into the fray, giving some folks bardic inspiration and then getting in there with the animals and starting to play some songs to console them, to keep them from running amok and causing even more trouble. And then out of the tavern also stormed up a goblin fighter holding a table and a glaive, table as a shield and holding a glaive. This is Kevin, the one who had eaten a bunch of food and drank a bunch and partied with them earlier. These goblins have now jumped in here to participate. So we sit now with a single shadow still facing Kriggs, and Teld having attacked Davin, and the goblins, I believe, have just done their last turn. If I remember right, we ended on kind of a crazy ending last time, kind of abrupt. So my apologies if I've got the turn order wrong, but the goblins would be at the end. So we go right back to Teld, unless someone has a rebuttal.
I think that is correct.
I don't want him to go.
I know. I mean, that's why I'm giving you guys the option to tell me I'm wrong, but really. So to start off, we are at Teld's turn. He is going to attack Davin, and the first attack is a natural one. So as he goes to swing his sword at you, his short sword, he phases in and out of this shadow form. And as he shifts out of the into the shadow form, it's right when that sword would have made contact, and it goes right through you instead of harming you, you flinching at no feeling like it's going to impact you. But then he comes back into existence and flings his sword back at you, rolling a 20 this time, a 10 plus 10. So that will hit you. And it does a D6 plus 3 damage. And I need you to make a constitution saving throw. That is 8 damage plus maybe poison.
It's 9, but give me a second. I think I have, I can use favored by the gods. I can add 2d4 to any missed attack roll or saving throw. So I'm going to add 2d4 to my 9.
Good roll. Do it. So go for it.
That is 7 more. So 16.
Yep, that beats the 15 you needed, so you only take the 8 damage. 8 damage from that slice. And then, as a bonus action, he is going to go ahead and complete that phase out of existence. And you see just a barely shadow mist form of Teld in front of you there, standing there. That takes us now to Joxer's turn.
Well, that's not fair that he's, like, phased out. I guess I know that I have mostly know that there's a shadow near me that is battling Kriggs.
Yeah, I got a shadow. And does Davin have a shadow, or does he
only
have Teld?
Okay, only
I'm Teld. The only one with a shadow at this point. I got the monkey on my back.
I can't decide. You know what? Just off the cuff of what I've been seeing in and out, would I think that Teld is undead, potentially?
You would feel like some of what you're experiencing here with the shadows and everything. Yeah, I think undead would be a fair assessment for sure.
Okay.
And also knowing that you straight up killed this guy and now here he is.
Yeah, yeah. Just making sure that it's not, you know. Sign. It's just truly
I think that
undead.
Classifies as undead, yeah. Honestly. Let's, I've seen The Walking Dead at least once.
Yeah, I'm not gonna mean DM you out of that, knowing that for sure.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear.
So I can't decide if I
You're
use something
dungeon meme-y.
Something simple like chill touch, just to give him disadvantage. Or just try to run up there and attack him even though he is phased out. Or try to attack this shadow. I think mostly expecting that Kriggs might be able to do something about the shadows. I will run up.
Got too much faith in me.
I know. I'm hoping. I am going to run up. Bonus action, pull out the Shadow Blade again, and then I'm going to attack with the Shadow Blade and then the Fire Rapier. So that'll be my second spell.
All right, make it 2 attacks.
Okay, Shadow Blade is a nat 20. This
time. That will hit. Good job.
And this one is a 17.
Both of those hit.
Ooh, okay, we like that. What do we got? D8s. 3, 8, 7, 15. So that's 18 with the Shadow Blade.
18 damage with the Shadow Blade?
Yep, which is psychic damage.
Okay, yeah.
And that's an 8. 8 and 5. Oh, and that's without the plus. What is it? Plus, what's my weapon? Plus 4. So that'd have been 22 with the Shadow Blade, and then 21 with the rapier, and 7 of that was fire.
Ooh, baby. So 43 damage.
Yeah. Holy macanoli.
And I'm hasted, so I will do another attack.
So because both of those are magical, both of those weapons are magical, you do see him take that damage as if he were not ethereal, as he hasn't fully transitioned out of this existence into another plane. He's only kind of gone to shadow mode, I guess you could call it. And so, yeah, you you cut through him, and that the flame maybe didn't do as much, but everything else sure did.
So I'm attacking again with the Shadow Blade. And sadly, that's only a 19.
19.
Well, 19 plus 8, so 27 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that hits.
Oh, does that hit?
Sadly,
DM?
That's only a 19.
Wow.
Wow. 7, 5, 5. So 17 plus 4, another 21 psychic damage.
21 psychic damage. That psychic damage is legit. As you see Teld grab his head and just screech and roar, and you hear this like goblin mixed with this like of whatever's possessing him, as he just roars out and grabs his head, shaking his head. You see the mist pull from outside of him like it's trying to go back into the mist that has swirled around the tops of these trees, and he's like willing it back into himself as he kind of stands seemingly ready to take his last stand as a shadow creature. Is that your whole turn, Joxer?
Yeah. I don't have another bonus action, so that is Krinks all I can do.
Krinks calls out, "Don't give up! Don't let up! He's almost gone!"
It's just move forward.
Now it is the shadow's turn. That is with you, Krinks. It is going to attack you and try to wrap itself around you and give you a nice little strength drain hug.
Mm.
19 plus 4, so a 23.
No, definitely does not yet hit.
Does not hit. That does not hit. Okay. So 2d6 plus 2. Your strength score, 10 damage. 10 necrotic damage. And then your strength score is reduced by 2.
Oof. You're getting a lot of suckage going on there.
What are you at?
Well, that takes me to 0.
Really?
It does. Okay. So the target dies if it reduces strength to 0. Otherwise, the reduction lasts until the target finishes a long or short rest. If a non-evil humanoid dies from this attack, a new shadow rises from the corpse in 1d4 hours.
So I guess I'm dead.
So your strength starts to drain. And those standing there, Joxer, you're pretty nearby as the shadow has wrapped itself in Krigs. Krigs is trying its hardest to force this thing away from him. And Gwyn, you see it in his eyes as he looks at you, and they just fade. The strength, the everything within Krigs just starts to drain and fade as his face goes limp, and he starts to drop. And as he starts to drop, and he starts to lower, you hear a crack of thunder in the woods in the distance. And this surge of energy, electricity, jolts underneath you. You feel the buzz of it in the ground beneath you as it shoots by, and you hear this howl in the distance, and you can feel the wind like you felt in Wild Hill. And Krigs, as your heart stops, it beats again, slowly, but beating as you go back to 1 hit point, and you don't lose the strength you just lost, as you've been blessed by Solrin, the dire wolf of the wilds.
I feel like I just used my one get out of jail free card.
Sweet Christmas.
Dang.
You hear in your mind,
"I can't always be here to protect you. I may be a super cool ethereal direwolf now, but I'm not omnipresent, and I can't always save you. That makes 2, but who's counting? You are 1 lucky dwarf."
So I believe that takes us from the shadow's turn now to Krieg's turn. What are you going to do with that last hit point you've got?
ooh, buddy. How close am I to Teld?
You're about 10 feet, but you've And you have that shadow wrapped, kind of wrapped around you. On the map there, you see him standing right next to you, but he's really just kind of in your space. You're sharing that same 5-foot space.
Would you consider me grappled?
No.
I don't imagine that I'm going to be able to move very well with one hit point. I basically just got resuscitated, like electric shock.
Yeah, you got the defibrillator just now.
It's like adrenaline point now. You know? I can't. You're all in.
I can't imagine that I am doing well, but I'm also just, I see myself stumbling forward, taking another step, and then I'm going to walk that 10 feet step by step, inhabiting the same space as this shadow creature is just a part of me, it feels like. And I'm going to take my hammer, I'm going to grab it with two hands, try to pull it overhead, and bring it down onto Teld. I don't think I have the strength to actually do a two-hand attack, though. Like, my grip is going to fail as I go to swing, and it's just going to have to be a one-handed attack. I can't hold it with both hands and swing down on it.
All right. Make your attack.
It's an 11 plus 16? Yeah, 16 with my hammer plus one.
So you reach that hammer up to swing, and you feel the strength that you don't have the strength to make an attack like normal. You just don't feel it. And you've got that residual energy inside of you and adrenaline, and you feel that surge through you, that same energy that gave you that hit point just as you felt like you were about to let go, and you swing and you make a hit. Roll your damage.
10 damage.
You swing down, and as you swing down with this magical...
Oh, 11 damage. I'm sorry.
Hammer. It's okay. As you swing down with this magical hammer, the green glow that kind of echoes behind it as it swings down, like a pulsating behind it as you swing down, almost the weight of the hammer is giving it more energy than your actual swing. But the hammer hits Teld and crushes what was left of his face. And when it does, the shadow retreats from his body. You see his nose, his ears, around his eyes, out of his mouth, out of the wounds that have been cut into him. The shadow just exits him and just starts to pull itself out from him and enters the sky and starts to swirl around in the sky. Everyone make perception checks as you look up and see the swirl in the sky.
Nope, it's too dark.
17
plus
it's a 12.
Eight. Okay.
What did you say, Gwyn?
21 for Gwyn.
Plus 8, yeah.
She got the perception.
Yeah, she does. Mine was a 20 total.
All right, Davin, Kriggs, and Gwendolyn, as you look up and you see all this leave, you see the swirling. Teld's body just collapses, lifeless and decayed and decrepit, like it's been dead for weeks and laying there. But in the air, you see these two glowing, just dull glowing eyes behind the mist. Familiar to you, Davin and Kriggs, because you've seen them in the woods before. And then the mist swirls around and starts to retreat, and the eyes retreat as well. And you're left in the silence, just the stirring of these animals, the slight picking of the guitar part, the stringed part of this instrument that Vale was playing. You hear Kevin breathing as everyone's kind of standing in what's left. The shadow removing itself with Teld being dead. It also, this shadow shifted into the sky that is now retreated. And you're standing in this village at night. The stars have returned. The moon is now shining. It feels like somebody turned a light on because of the stars and the moon, even though it's still nighttime. It was so dark that even the darkness of night feels bright to you.
As the shadow comes off my back and as I'm watching all that, there's no way that I don't just drop my shield and hammer and fall back and essentially not actually unconscious, but just I'm down. I have nothing left in me right now.
Kriggs. Yeah. Kriggs, get over here, everybody.
Gwendolyn looks down at her hands, and I'm going to fix this. She's wondering why the spell she was casting wasn't working. It should have went off by now, and she's looking at her hands, and I want to insert a flashback scene to when she was reading the scroll of the spell from her dad's, like, old boxes. She had set an apple on it, so she thought it was supposed to take 1 second, but it actually takes a whole minute.
Awesome.
And so comes back to now, and she's like, oh, Kriggs! And she runs over, and I'm going to cast Cure Wounds. Yep. We're going to do it on this.
Okay. Out of the corner of the eye of your eye, you see Teld's wife, Giss's mother, start to walk over towards the body of Teld.
Oh no. Okay. I knew he was gone, man. He was really gone. I know.
And Giss is there with her and just,
yeah, he's gone, Mom. It's okay. It's fine. We'll bury him now. We have his body now. We can do a proper service. And
she says, he won't be buried. He'll be burned like a soldier. He'll be burned like with honor. We'll take care of it.
And so they're starting to just talk about how they're going to handle this now that seems like they hadn't ever got his body to give him any kind of burial or anything. And now they're going to do so.
Davin's going to place his hand on Jox's shoulder and he's going to look at him and say, friend, are you all right? That was a close one.
You're telling me those blades. I don't understand. That just cut deeper than I can even realize. But we need to tend to Kriggs. He's completely wasted.
Kriggs, can you hear me? Is everything all right?
I don't respond. I know I just had Cure Wounds cast on me and I have some HP, but yeah. Like, I'm done at this point.
Yeah. You're going to live, but there's no gas in the tank.
Do you think the monastery would have had any, like, knowledge on that type of ailment?
Yeah, make a history check on that.
Okay, so that one is a 15.
Yeah, you definitely know of spells that take people's strength, and you've heard of poisons that do this or that sort of thing, and you know the idea that something like this dark creature exists. This whatever this mist or shadow is, this idea for you is it's not crazy for sure based on what you know and have studied, and so it makes complete sense to you that this is something that would be the result of a creature or being like that.
I think we need to let him rest. We need to get him to the bed.
I look over at Kevin. Kevin, can you help my friend into a bed? And I'm going to try to lift Kriggs, but on my strength, I have noodle arms, so I am not.
Okay. I'm going to put my hand on Gwen's shoulder now and say, I'll get it. It's fine. And I'm going to cast telekinesis.
Okay. Ooh.
And I can lift up to 1,000 pounds. I'm pretty sure Kriggs isn't that big.
Yeah.
He's not a problem. One.
Okay.
You don't know me.
All down.
So he's just going to, Davin's just going to swirl his hands around. And you see like this, the dirt kind of swing up underneath him, and then he just starts floating up into the air.
Shield, anything I was carrying is still on the ground. I'm not holding. I can't hold on to it.
I would have grabbed that, seeing him being lifted. And,
yeah.
Don't worry, Kriggs. I'll bring this with us.
All right, Kevin. Kevin just says,
I can help with anything you need. Don't worry. Do you want me to take the shield and stuff? Or
I think we're fine. Just tend to Giss and his mother. Make sure that they're all right.
Okay. And he runs over there. And he picks up the body of Teld. And Giss puts his hand on Kevin's shoulder, like to say thank you. And they start to walk off kind of towards the, just the out in the woods a little ways.
Davin looks to the other two and he says, you saw that, right? It wasn't just me. Like, I saw the life leave his eyes. And I thought that was the end. I was scared for just a brief second, and then I was like, I don't know. You saw it too, though, right?
Yes, I think we owe the wilds more than we can even ask for. I know of monsters or of effects that would drain a man, and once it's happened, there's no return.
Well, he returned. Or at least it seems like he's going to be all right.
Why did he come here, though?
Who told?
Well, yeah. What was... Was it for his wife and son? Like, what made him want to fight us here and now?
I don't think he was specifically here to fight us. He was probably drawn to his family, but being cursed as he was, that's definitely the problem. We don't understand that kind of curse at all.
Well, I don't think we'll ever actually know the answer.
I just hate that everything seems to be solved with violence and not talking.
I was really hoping, just mentioning his family during that, all of that, it was going to be more effective. He was not fazed. I don't understand.
All I know is those eyes. After he laid to rest and whatever that was possessing him left. I've seen those eyes before in the forest. I don't think that's going to be the end of it for us. Whatever it is, it's been watching us and following us. It'll come again.
I wonder if it had anything to do with those tiny footprints we found. One of the camping nights we had as well.
Who's to say exactly? Come on, let's get him to bed. Let's get him to rest. Oh, and okay. I'll start moving over toward the hut and floating him with me.
All right, as you make your way that direction, Vale kind of comes out of the pen and hops over the fence. He sets his instrument down over the side of the fence, and then he hops over and picks it up, and he looks at you all, and he's like,
I've never seen anything like that, man. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight.
I love how groovy he is.
If you need me for anything... I'm still going to be in the tavern on the stage. That's where I'm most comfortable, baby. And he heads that direction.
Vale. There's still some drink in those casks, so you're welcome to it.
Oh, do I ever need it now?
Whew. As he's walking away, still kind of...
How
he's
much
got
swag
his instrument
does he
put
have
back
as
on
he walks away? I need to know. Swag
full,
meter.
Full swagger. I mean, yeah, shaking the hips a little bit. He's got one shoulder drops with every step.
Yeah, how could he not? Let's be real.
He's having a good time.
We can hear his puka shell necklace jingle as he walks.
That's right. That's right. And he's strumming as he goes. You hear a little... He's playing the blues right now.
That's great. I'd follow, make sure Kriggs makes it into a bed, and then I'm unsure if I'm also going to go meet Vale and chat it out or chat it out with everybody.
Okay. What's everybody else doing? Kriggs, you're out, yeah?
Yeah, I am curious, and I'm curious if I dream at this point. Like, I'm curious what is happening to me. I'm just sleeping, but, like, man, I just died. I didn't know if that is having any effect on me now.
Make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. Up, 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 but up, 12.
It's not the most delightful rest. The moment just keeps repeating itself over and over. And those eyes see everything you don't want anyone to see. And that's what gives you a hard time sleeping.
I'm in the bed now, so I'm just going to be tossing and turning and just mumbling, just random nonsense, words here and there that don't string any kind of coherent thought. But for anyone that's in the room with me, you're just hearing fitful slumber.
It's a good band name.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
The first album is Ambien.
Ooh.
It's so good.
Gwen, what are you up to?
Gwen is just, as she's walking back, she's just staring at her hands and just wondering why that spell still didn't go off. And so she's going to have a late night of staying up. She goes into one of the rooms, probably the room that she was staying in, which was Davin's before. And she's going to put Dale on the bed, and she's going to send Indian style and go through her notebook that she hasn't looked at in a while. And she comes across the map to Almanora and just kind of stares at it for a while. So she's going to be up for a little while and just in her room alone, talking to Dale here and there.
Okay. Davin?
Davin's going to go back to his room, and he's going to lay down and kind of fitfully try and go back to sleep for a little while, and then realize that he can't. And he's going to get up, and he's going to grab his blanket. He's going to grab the pillow off the bed, and he's going to walk over, and he's going to sleep on the floor underneath Craig's bed.
Okay. You make a wisdom saving throw, too.
Okay.
Why?
Natural 20.
Oh.
Okay. The restful, or the fitful sleep that Kriggs is having makes it hard to fall asleep at first. And you're also thinking about those eyes. And when you first close your eyes to finally drift off, like that first moment, you know, that first little inkling that you might be going to sleep, you see yourself. You don't see yourself. You're looking in first person, looking up at the entrance of this cave. You look to your left and your right, and there are bodies of creatures dead. And then you look up and you see yourself looking over you. And you see your own self at the feet of whatever point of view you have right now. Start to look around, and as if noticing nobody's looking, they look down at you, and a darkness shows in their eyes. And you jerk up awake like you do when you've had that half sleep and you haven't fully fallen asleep. You jerk on the floor, and you kind of, whew, and from then you do fall asleep after that. Joxer, what are you up to?
At first, I'm going to be kind of walking back and forth in the room and trying to decide, like, okay, I'll go talk to Vale and work this out in my head. Or, no, I'll just lay down, and then I'll lay down, and then I'll roll around, and then I'll get up, and I'll go over to Gwen's room, and then I'll hear her talking to Dale, and then I'll just...
No, that's
just
not what I didn't write that down.
And then I'll stop. It's like, okay, it's fine. And I'll go to Kriggs's room and just kind of like peek in, and then I'll see
those eyes. Teld.
Should have stayed in my room.
Yeah. And then I'll just kind of go back and forth a little bit, pacing as quietly as I can. And then I'll go back into my room and then lay out the brew hole, and I'll go in it, and I'll cast dancing lights in there, and you'll start seeing me kind of like feverishly, trying to maybe make new brews or come up with some other things. And there's like this undead hand that starts crawling across the casks as I'm doing it. And then I pick it up and look over at it. It's like, I don't know what to call you, but you've been helpful so far. As it like goes back onto the casks and starts like turning little items that to drop ingredients or moving ingredients back and forth.
What the? When did you get a thing?
And then, you know, that's going to be, I'll take like a short rest, and then you'll see me like take off that ring and cast Shadow Blade into it. And I'm going to put it on the undead hand. And then I'll get back up, close up the brew hole, and try to sleep.
So as everyone finally settles in, Gwendolyn, make a constitution saving throw.
Why?
Nothing real bad. Don't worry about it.
That's good.
You know me. I would never do anything to hurt you.
I don't know about that.
I don't think the Twitter community would let you hurt her.
How's a 7? 3 plus 4?
You are in the middle of arguing with Dale. Okay. And you think you've made a really good point, and Dale starts to go in this lecture.
I hate it when he does that.
And he's just lecturing you on taking the time to read your spells. Read the spells. And
I don't need to, though.
Your eyes get heavy, and before he can finish, you're fully asleep. And just like that, for all of you, seemingly, just as soon as you closed your eyes to go to sleep, you hear ruckus outside. Nothing crazy, nothing seeming dangerous, and you feel the sunlight beating down from the window on your skin, and it's already morning.
Gwendolyn's dead asleep. She's not going to wake up first.
Yeah, okay.
Davin opens his eyes, and he just immediately sits straight up, and he can look up at the bed and see what he sees with Kriggs.
Kriggs, what's he see?
I can't imagine that I'm doing anything besides just kind of like laying there and staring up at the ceiling and just feeling like I'm way too old for this now. Just like, oh dear gods. Oh, I don't even, oh my gods. Oh. And just sitting there just groaning and mumbling to himself like, this is the absolute worst.
Well, I know they're not sounds of joy, but it's still nice to hear sounds from you again.
I don't... Did we kill him? Like, I'm obviously not dead. I don't... Are you real? Is this a dream? I pinch myself.
Your life... One I don't know why damage. You are, but you're alive.
Just kidding.
We're all alive. That's the good part.
I heard her voice, Davin. I don't...
Who?
Solrin. I heard Solrin. The moment that shadow creature, whatever that was, it took hold of me. I felt it grab my heart, and I felt it squeeze as tight as it could, and everything I had was gone. All I remember was... the fear in Gwendolyn's eyes as she looked down at her hands, wondering how... I don't even know, but something shook. Something shook from inside, and I heard the voice of Solrin. I don't... if we had been any further from Wild Hill, I don't know if I'd still be here. I was spared. I don't know if it was the blessings from the wild, or if it was just... I don't know. I'm just glad to still be here, I guess.
I have no idea what happened. That's not something that I've ever experienced before, but I don't think it's something we want to get in the habit of doing. Like you
did
said,
you see
maybe...
them too? In the sky? Did you see them?
I saw them, yes.
Let's not be too happy yet, I guess.
Joxer just kicks the door in. At least fireball. I'm not the only one who killed Teld.
Fireball! Fireball!
I just like the idea of you kicking the door in like wildly and then just calmly saying that phrase.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been probably listening at the door for
the whole
a while.
Time.
Yeah. It's nervous and anxious, just, okay, this is a, nope, this, I'm just going to go in here and, no, I'm not going to. No, we're just going in and then kicking it in.
By gods, oh, you almost took a hammer to the face, boy.
That's it'd have been quite the reach for your short arms, Kriggs.
I'm not so happy to be around, I think, anymore. I could have...
It's the worst hangover ever.
Where's Gwyn? Has anyone seen her? Is she okay?
I'm sure she's fine. She went to her room.
In the other room. You just hear. She is out. Just.
She was up late with a very heated discussion.
It must have definitely been Dale then. Can one of you help me up? I'm still a little weak from last night's festivities.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
We'll each grab a hand, I think.
Yeah.
Pull him out of bed.
I'm going to gingerly.
Do we have enough strength to even do that?
Can we like swing him?
I think
like,
so.
Like okay. Like the little kid between their mom and dad. Like,
hey, come on.
My strength is -3. I don't think I'm going to be doing too much of that.
It's -3.
Is that after shadow damage? Or no, you never took that, huh?
Oh, I did actually. I think I have to adjust that. It doesn't do automatically.
Did we get a rest or no?
Yes, everyone got a rest.
As
you start to head outside, you realize it's nearly noon.
Oh my.
All did get a long rest, but you slept in. The boar that had killed itself running into the tree is now on a skewered stick being roasted. In large sections of it are being roasted over a fire in that courtyard just outside your front door of your hut. And the goblins are all sitting around on these logs and on these tables, and they're starting to set placings for a large feast, a large meal, as this, and you can hear the fire sizzling as all the fat drips off of this meat down into the fire from this overfed boar that is now being cooked for breakfast.
I sniff the air and I guess waste not, want not. Maybe we don't tell Gwyn about this though.
Yeah, she's sleeping in. We don't have to wake her up quite yet.
I do love bacon.
Don't tell the vegan.
Exactly.
Well, all right. So yeah, they're all coming. As you walk up, Gis comes over to you and he says,
"We're celebrating my father's life and your victory last night. So please, your guests of honor, take what you'd like to drink and sit down. We would be happy to serve you a meal and possibly do a celebration performance for you today. Is that okay? Would you be okay to leave tomorrow and stay one more day with us?"
I'll look over at Kriggs, and I think one of us is a little too weak to leave anyway. We'll be all right. We'll stay.
Don't worry, Gis. Droxer will be in good health tomorrow, and we'll be ready to go then. We'll stay another day. He says as he's, like, just tenderly doctoring his bruises and things.
Yeah, Gis looks at you, Kriggs, and kind of looks you up and down, and looks at Droxer and gives a wink and says,
"I hope you feel better soon."
And kind of grins at you with this, like, large, sharp, toothy grin, and says, "Please, just have a seat. You too, Davin." And he runs over to get you guys something to drink.
This is my kind of service. It's drinks in the morning.
Honestly, it's kind of nice to have just out of nowhere like this. You know, after all we've been through, it's nice to just kind of relax for a minute, have somebody take care of us.
Yeah, it's, I thought it was going to be a relaxing night after the events that started yesterday, but it ended much, much differently than
I don't think you had a relaxing night since we met Solrin.
Craig's just kind of...
It's true. It's true.
How close are we to the barracks now in this area where we slept?
You're just right outside the door, probably 20 feet or so away.
I'm going to take my hammer and I'm going to ting, ting, ting on my shield and rise and shine, Gwen, and just shout it out.
Okay.
Assuming she can hear me, you know, very much like one would do for a young one.
Awesome. Gwen, does this route wake you?
I don't know. Does it? I kind of want to roll for it.
Okay. Make a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
What?
See if you can will yourself to stay asleep.
17.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to wake up, you don't.
I don't wake up.
All right.
I'm going to sit down at the table. If Giz is sitting, I would like to sit kind of by him and just be, you know, commune with the locals, not try to sit distant or anything.
Yeah, these tables are set up more like serving tables. So they've got several like cups of mead set out and an ale and other drinks. And then you've got the other one has some of the grains and seeds and berries and some of the other kinds of foods that they'll serve along with this meat feast. And it's just kind of all ready to serve once people are ready to eat, once the meat is done. But they're just kind of getting stuff ready. They're setting out little wooden planks that have been chopped off of logs and carved down to look to be like plates and some utensils of sorts and just stuff like that, that they're preparing for you to have a feast. And it looks like they're very practiced at this, much like what you experienced in Wild Hill. This is a similar experience where before a hunt, maybe they would come out here and get everything ready for a little celebration. Well, they're doing that just for you guys now and for themselves and each other.
Well, boys, I guess you find yourself a spot. Seems we're going to be here for at least another day.
I think we have some things to talk about before we move on anyways. Maybe not right now, but when we go back to our private rooms.
I completely forgot about the top secret mission you went on last night. Let me tell you, you missed one heck of a dance-off.
I could hear the music.
That was all Vale. I look over and kind of point to Vale and give him a side eye daddy-o snap.
He's sitting on a stump right outside that tavern, and he's plucking the strings and he's stomping a foot that makes a couple gadgets spring and knock on like a cowbell. And so he's got this beat going with this strum, and it's not a real fancy tune at this point. It's more he's meaning it to be like ambiance, but he's definitely fitting the mood, and you can see in his face he's into every second of it. He does look at you and you give him the nod, and he gives you a wink and a snicker and gives a little nice little run on his little guitar thing for you. Just a little quick little shred and then keeps going with the strumming.
So good.
Show off. And I kind of sniff around and wait for the festivities to begin, I guess.
You know, it's funny. When I was younger, I always heard about goblins and how terrible they were. They're evil, ugly creatures that just attack anybody. So far, I haven't met anyone that wasn't just a nice goblin. Well, I mean, honestly, the ones we killed, I suppose, but we don't really know what they're like.
That's an old war attitude. You wouldn't believe it, but there were secret underground parties between the dwarves and the goblins back in the war days. Some of us that were more peace-minded, that didn't necessarily want to be fighting for what felt like unnecessary reasons, we would gather. And since at the time, common wasn't so common, well, we only spoke one language, and that language was dance.
I'm sorry, I was gonna try and keep it serious, and I could not.
We only spoke one language. And that language was dance.
Oh, I can't.
It's canon. The DM is saying it's canon right now.
Oh yeah. That's there's no taking that back.
I'm picturing the scene from the second Matrix movie where they're all just like raving in the cave, except for it's all dwarves and goblins.
Completely. Yeah, it's dwarves and goblins just heavy rave.
Devin, some of the outlying cities that weren't on the front lines, propagandist attitudes definitely arose, and goblins, they're not really any different than you and I. I never was one that understood the causes behind the wars, but I'm just glad those days are upon us, and now we can dance in the sunlight, not in little rave caves.
Rave caves. Rave caves.
It's just nice to see the side of the world, I guess. You know, it's different than what I grew up hearing about. So whenever you hear about dancing goblins and relationships with dwarves, I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't really even meet a dwarf until I'd gone to a big city. Where I grew up, there weren't any. It was all humans. Just an interesting change, that's all.
We'll have to get you into the Stone Mountains one day and let you see some of my old stomping grounds and hopefully not be chased off by giant Fomorians or, you know.
First experience was a terrible one.
I swear it's not as bad as all that. It's quite beautiful if you get to the correct areas.
All right.
It had, what was that giant bird that seemed quite terrifying from a distance? It seems like there's a lot of monsters there that are not a...
Let's be honest, it's not any more than anywhere else. That's my home you're talking about.
The only thing that was a monster where I grew up was whenever my aunt would come over and try to make us eat her Brussels sprout stew. Oh, that's terrible.
Sounds quite lovely. I'd like to meet this one, your aunt.
Well, maybe someday you will, but I can tell you, she's a talker. She gets a little old after a little while. You know, she's got like four stories she just tells over and over and over again. Yes, I understand. You went to the canyons.
Sounds like my brother Warren, and frankly, I'm sure he would not be very fond of the Brussels sprout stew either.
Well, he's not a fan of Brussels sprouts or not a fan of stew?
If it's a plant, I don't think he would rather it be on his plate, but instead inside the forge, fueling the fires.
So he's like the opposite of Gwen. He only eats meat.
More or less.
All right.
But let me tell you what, I think he'd probably fancy her if he had the opportunity to actually meet her. He was something of a ladies' dwarf.
All right. Well, as long as he doesn't mind, you know, I'm just going to go wake up Gwen. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to walk over to her hut.
All right.
I'll lean over. He was going to say, as long as he doesn't mind a Dale.
that's a whole other story I think we're going to have to figure out someday. Who is this Dale?
Mysterious Dale. Davin's going to, on his way over there, cast message and start whispering in her ear as he walks that direction in this best Dale impersonation.
Gwen! Gwen, it's time to wake up! Come on, Gwen!
What? And she turns over and she's a mess. She's got slobber all over her face. Her hair's all messed up. Definitely sorority girl hangover, if you will, in this middle age that we're in. she looks over and just, when did your voice change? And she picks up Dale and just like makes like a gross face at him. And then she realized that she slept all over her papers and crinkled them even more from the journal. And so she's way to go, Gwen. And she puts Dale down and starts collecting up the journal. And I don't know if you're still doing the voice or if you're there.
Gwen, are you awake yet?
Yes, I'll be there in a jiffy. And she's hurrying up now that she knows someone's there and stacking up the papers and putting them in. And she's not putting them in like they were before. She's just stuffing them in there because she doesn't want him to see her being a mess.
We're out here. They're kind of putting on a little party. Just a heads up. They're making the best use of the poor boar that's died.
Of what? And she's still putting the papers in the journal.
Remember, nothing goes to waste. Just remember that. We'll meet you outside.
Goes to what? She's she throws. Okay, and she grabs everything, puts it in a bag, puts on her little cape, and she starts to walk out the door. And she smells something foul in the air, which is going to be the boar.
Yeah, you walk out the door, and when you step out, you see what they saw. You know, you see everybody kind of gathering around and talking. And by this time, there's a kind of a crowd of goblins around the campfire area, filling their plates. They've already handed plates to Joxer and Kriggs. And Davin, as you walk up to the log there to sit down, they hand you a plate with perfectly sliced cuts of pork for you to enjoy for breakfast meats. And Gwen, as you walk down, the crowd kind of splits. This is the right amount of people leaving. You can see four big sections of meat that are on this contraption that's been built to kind of turn it over the fire to roast it, being sliced and put on plates. And a goblin kind of runs over to you and gives you this big toothy smile and says,
"This is for you,"
and holds up a plate with all this meat and everything on it.
I don't think Dale and I would like... Do you have any vegetables? I appreciate the offer. I just... And she looks kind of crazy because she's doing that thing where she's trying to smile, but it's not.
The goblin looks down at the food and looks up at you and says, okay, and points to the table over there and then reaches down in the plate and grabs the meat and just starts munching on it since you're not going to.
Thank you.
Yeah, and they turn and just walk away from you.
Okay. Just start going to the vegetable table.
Okay.
If there is one.
Go gather your vegetables. So yeah, it's not really, there's some like sort of vegetables kind of stuff there. There's some like roots and mushrooms that have been gathered and berries and some nuts and things like that. So there's sustenance for you, but okay. There's nothing grown here. There's no farming here. They hunt and gather and that is it. So that's what you've got is what they've been able to gather. And
living off the sides.
Yeah, that's right. And so you, salad bar. And so you go and get what you can get what you want. You go sit down and they just kind of throw this little shindig for you and they feed you and everyone eats till they're full. They drink until they're as happy as they want to be. And then Vale starts this song that just sounds a little more old and maybe traditional as a couple groups of these goblins come out and they start dancing and performing. And you do see one, the song stops and then the same little goblin child that you had frightened the day before, Gwendolyn, comes out and announces
a new performance from our troop of dancers. Enjoy!
And turns and walks off and the dancers come back out and they start dancing to this slow, dark, like almost ominous music coming from Vale. He's got now this like horn thing he's attached to his contraption and he's just like, while he plays this low horn sound, he's got this strumming going on the guitar thing that makes this eerie kind of sound. And then you see them reenacting what they saw of your battle last night as this creature comes out, this goblin comes out draped in black cloth and shaking its arms around like one of those shadows. And they show this one walk out with, looks like they've covered their head with some sort of bowl or something to make it look like they're bald. And he comes out with a hammer and starts swinging it at the creature. And the other one comes out with this like purple tablecloth or something wrapped around them and some like chains and things around their neck, like necklaces. And this goblin starts to like wave its hands around like it's doing magic. And they're, so they're all reenacting as one of them comes up and they've drawn on their hands and they start punching at these like other goblins that are in their black cloaks or whatever, pretending to be these creatures. And so they do this, but it's all in this like dancing kind of form. And they're just doing this performance in honor of you defeating the shadows last night. And then finally one walks out as everything kind of starts to settle. One walks out and this one has the same like this tied across their neck, like this cape kind of thing flowing behind them. And this one looks caringly as they can get their goblin face to look and starts laying their hands on the other goblins that have been injured by these monsters as they stand back up like they're healed and better. And that kind of ends the day. Beyond that, it's just kind of a party. Everybody just hanging out and enjoying themselves. And that's where we'll end this episode.
Oh, I like the happy endings.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Joxer's just like making claps and stuff to the beat.
Thank you for listening to this, episodic installment, been a minute since I said that, of our second season. We really appreciate you joining us for this adventure. If you enjoyed our show, please tell a friend about us. And if you really enjoyed it, tell the world and leave a review. Be sure to check out our shop at thehired.store. And if you want to keep up with us and what we're up to, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at thehiredswords. And again, thank you for listening.